flight before 9 a.m.
We're on the Sugya Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. The Mishnah quotes Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai says that you cannot start a malach on Erev Shabbos unless you conclude the malacha before Shabbos. So you don't soak ink.
That's today's stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't soak ink or various herbs and certain legumes unless the soaking can be completed before Shabbos. And the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches tells us that this Shita Beit Shammai is based on a principle which is called Shvisas Kelim. And that's Doraisa. It means we have to let our utensils rest on Shabbos, and they should not do Malacha for us. Now we have a Brice on Daf Yud Tes that says Torah Bonin Lo Yaskir Adam Kelev L'Nachri Berav Shabbos. That you don't, you're not allowed to rent out your utensils to a guy on Erev Shabbos, but B'dalid Vehe Mutter. But on Wednesday or Thursday, you're allowed to do so. And the Gemara has an equation there to sending a letter with a non-Jewish postman. Tosis wants to know what difference it makes if you set this up on a Wednesday or Thursday. At the end of the day, your kelim will be working on Shabbos. So what is the heter? What is the permission to use or have the guy use these kelim on Wednesday or Thursday? And he says the following: Ein lefarish mishum shvisas kelim. It cannot be that when the brisa permits renting out your kelim to a guy on Wednesday or Thursday, it cannot be a reflection of what we call Shvisas Kelim of Beit Shammai, because what difference it make what day of the week, as long as your kelim are going to be working and doing malacha, that should be prohibited. But rather, this brisa reflects the Shita Beis Hillel. He doesn't accept Shvisas Kelim, and the reason why it's prohibited on a Friday to rent out your kelim is because the guy is paying you specifically for the malacha that he's doing on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to be paid for malacha that's being done on Shabbos. If, on the other hand, you rent it out to him on a Wednesday or a Thursday, then he's paying you for the malacha that he does on Thursday, on Wednesday, maybe even on Friday, but not for the malacha that he does on Shabbos. Now, a lot of what we want to cover today is called Ashmatas Arif, which means that the Rif, who was really the originator of the original codifier of Halacha, he leaves out this Brisa and he completely ignores it. This Brisa that sets up all these various prohibitions of things that you're not allowed to start on Erev Shabbos, which are going to be completed on Shabbos. The Baal HaMor suggests that the reason why the Rif omits this whole discussion is because the Rif holds that all these Isurim that are listed in the Brisa, they reflect the Shita of Beit Shammai, that there is an Isur of Shvisas Kelim. And we don't paskin like Beit Shammai. We don't accept the Isur of Shvisas Kelim, and therefore all of this is mutter. So you'd be allowed to soak your dough, your dye, and so forth and so on before Shabbos, and you'd be allowed to rent out your kelim before Shabbos, because all of the above reflects the Shita Beit Shammai called Shvisas Kelim. We don't accept that Shita. And the Baal HaMor himself rejects this. He says, even Beis Hillel would be moda, they would admit that all these things are asur, because it looks like, for example, in the case where he rents out his kelim on Shabbos, it looks like he's receiving payment for Melechus Shabbos, and that's something that even Beis Hillel would accept. And that we saw already in Tosfos. So basically, the Baal HaMor is reiterating what we saw in Tosfos, and he's rejecting the Rif. The Rif held that the problem of renting out your kelim to a goy on Erev Shabbos is based on Beit Shammai Shita of Shvisas Kelim. We don't accept that Shita of Beit Shammai, hence it's Mutter. Whereas Tosfos and the Baal HaMor, they take the view that you cannot rent out your kelim to a goy on Erev Shabbos because it looks like you're gaining benefits and money that's coming in because of the malacha that was done on Shabbos. And if we take a look in the Rambam, who says mutu lahashil kelim laskirim legoy afal pishu also ben malacha b'shabbos neisha einon mitzuvim al shvisas hakelim amol behemto viavodo osur mipneisha anu mitzuvim al shvisas behema v'yevet. The Rambam seems to clearly resonate with the Shita of the Rif, the way the Baal HaMor understood the Rif. We don't have any problem of lending or renting out our kelim to a guy, knowing full well that the guy will do malacha with our kelim on Shabbos. And the reason is because we don't accept the Shita of Shvisas Kelim. The Ravid rejects the Rambam, and he says that this prohibition, which is codified in the Brisa, that you're not allowed to rent out your kelim on Erev Shabbos, does not reflect the Shita Beit Shammai of Shvisas Kelim, but rather that's a Shita, an Issa that even Beis Hillel would accept, and that's because it appears that you are getting monies for the malach that's done on Shabbos. And that's something that even Beis Hillel would prohibit. Now, the Ramban, in his commentary on the Rif, which is called Melchemes Hashem, he asks the Baal HaMor, in the context of the Rif, right, the Baal HaMor Shita in the Rif, he says, how could we possibly interpret this Braisa based on Beit Shammai Shita of Shvisas Kelim, when the Braisa allows you to rent out your Kelim to a guy on Wednesday and Thursday? If, as the Baal HaMor assumed in the Rif, and we assumed also in the Rambam, the Isur would be Shvisas Kelim, how did the Braisa say that you're allowed to rent out your Kelim to a guy on Wednesday or Thursday? At the end of Shabbos, so to speak, the end of the day, the guy is going to use your kelim on Shabbos. It doesn't matter when the rental agreement began. The guy is renting your kelim for X number of days, including Shabbos. He's going to certainly use the kelim on Shabbos. He's paying you rental for that. And therefore, there's a violation of Shvisas Kelim. How do we understand this limitation, which permits you to rent out your kelim on a Wednesday or a Thursday to a guy, when you know full well that the guy is going to use these kelim on Shabbos, and therefore it's a violation of Shvisas Kelim? What difference does it make whether you rented him on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or a Thursday or on Friday? And the Ramban writes that if Shvisas Kelim is the problem over here, then even on Sunday or Monday it should be awesome, because the guy is doing malacha with your kelim, the Jewish kelim, on Shabbos, and that's prohibited in all events, in all occasions. Let's say you rent out an animal to a guy, or an eved to do work with him. It would always be awesome, even if you did it on a Sunday or Monday, because you're mitzuvah b'shvisas b'hemto, shvisas avdo. So therefore, says Rabban, it's quite clear that this brisa does not reflect the Shita Beit Shammai of Shvisas Kalim, because there'd be no way that we can justify the leniency in the case of Wednesday or Thursday. And then the Ramban adds another proof. The Ramban adds another point. He says that in the Brice on Daf Yud Ches, which says that Lo Yashil V'Lo Yaskir, it seems to imply that Kulo Gavne Mechira U'She'ela Mashkon Alva U'Matona. In other words, why did the Brisa limit this Isur, circumscribe it, to certain particular cases? If it's an issue of Shvisas Kalim, it should include all cases. Let's say, for example, you lend your utensils to a guy. Or, for example, you take a loan from a guy and he asks for a collateral and you give him your keli as a collateral. Even if you give him a gift, it could be also b'toras shvisas keli. So the Rabban says no. The Isur is schar Shabbos. Means it looks like you're getting paid for malach on Shabbos. And therefore he says that if you want to give it to him, to the guy, as a she'ela, is to lend it to him, but you're not taking any money, there's no rental agreement here, he's not paying you for the use of Kalim, that would be mutter. Whereas if you hold like Beit Shammai of Shvisas Kalim, then it wouldn't make any bit of difference whether you rented it to him and you got paid for it, or whether you lent it to him and he's using your Kalim on Shabbos. The Ritva actually says that Schiris Lav Dafka, that this Isur would apply not only in the case of rental, but based on the assumption that there's an Isur Shvisas Kalim, any sort of giving over of your Kalim to a guy for whatever purpose, and the guy is going to use those Kalim on Shabbos, that would be prohibited. So we're not limited to Schirus. But even if we accept the Ritva, we still have the first Kash in the Ramban, which we asked on our own. How is it possible to find the leniency in a situation where you rent your Kalim to a guy on Tuesday or Wednesday, knowing full well that he's going to use your Kalim on Shabbos? How would that be a mitigating factor to allow this rental to take place on a Wednesday or Thursday when the guy is using your Kalim on Shabbos? And that would be a violation of Shvisas Kalim. And if the Brice is understood by the Rif to be referring to the Isur Shvisas Kalim, then there seems to be no room for leniency if the rental agreement was signed on a Wednesday or a Thursday. Now, if you take a look at section number Beis, the Hari Kedem now is going to make an attempt at answering this kasha of the Ramban, that perhaps, even within the context of Shvisas Kalim, there is a difference between rental agreement on Friday and a rental agreement earlier in the week. But in order to appreciate that answer, we have to go back to basics. Even if we don't accept Beit Shammai about Shvisas Kalim, the Torah says, L'man Yanuach, with regard to Behemto Avdo V'Amoso. And Rav Soloveitchik wants to analyze the difference between Shvisas Kalim according to Beit Shammai and Shvisas Behemto according to everybody. Nobody questions the Isur of Shvisas Behemto. That's written in the Pasuk, L'man Yanuach. So the Rav says that these are two fundamentally different prohibitions. And certainly you would not be allowed to rent out your animal on a Sunday or a Tuesday, knowing full well that the renter will use your animal on Shabbos, because that would be a violation of L'man Yanuach. The Isur that's derived from L'man Yanuach is that the behema, if it does malacha, is not in a state of menucha. He calls it Din Beguf HaBehema Atzma. you have to guarantee that your animal is resting. But in Kalim, it's impossible to say that your Kalim have to rest. A Kali doesn't rest. So what is the nature of the Iser Shvisas Kalim? It's not Begufa Kli. In the case of the Behema, we said it's Begufa Behema. The animal has to rest. What is the nature of the Iser Shvisas Kalim? Laman Desvirle. He says it's not that the Kli per se has to rest. You're not going to tell me that the malacha was done by the kli. You could say that the animal did something. It did a malacha, but not a kli. But rather, mishum, and here you want to underline this if you like to underline, mishum, three lines up from the bottom on the right column, mishum dal yideya maisa malacha bekli, ha malacha misyacheses labailim. When the kli, which is owned by a Jew, is involved in malacha, there's some relationship here between that malacha and the owner of the kli. Even though the owner of the kli is not actively, or shall we say, directly implementing this malacha, but nevertheless, since the animal is owned by the Jew, the kli is owned by a Jew, when the kli does the malacha, it's almost like an extension of the Israel. And in the language of the Hari Kedem, he says, Yesh tziruf bein hamalacha b'kli la'abaylim. So the chisarni is not shvisas ha'kelim, like we saw in shvisas behemto, but rather shvisas ha'abaylim. You are not considered a shoves if your kelim are working on your behalf. So again, the Iser is not the Malachas HaKli itself. We don't care if the Kli is doing Malacha. The Kli doesn't have to rest. But rather, it's considered that you vicariously did a Malacha through the agency of your Kli. And therefore, your Shvisa is not a complete Shvisa insofar as there's a Tziruf, a connection between the Malachas HaKli and the Bailin. And from this perspective, the Rishonim thought that in general, if you rent out a kli to a guy, then that's a violation of shvisas kelim. Why? Because the guy is using your kli, he's paying you for the use of your kli, he's doing malacha with the kli, and if that malacha is being done in your kli, he's paying you for that malacha, that's considered a malacha in the kli that relates to the bailim. But here, you're going to have to wait, Rabosa, you're going to have to wait one more minute till I finish the presentation, and then you could hit me with all the questions in the world. But we're in the middle of a presentation, a very sensitive and profound chidush. And here, on line 4, on the left column, you want to underline the words, Habailim Mosrim Es Hakli Limalacha. Please underline and emphasize the word Mosrim. The Iser of Shvisas Kalim, in the case where you rent out your Kalim, is a result of Mesira. The moment that you hand over the Kli to the guy for the sake of doing Malacha, that Mesira, which facilitates the guys using your Kalim to do Malacha on Shabbos, that Mesira itself is what sets up this mechanism in which the malacha of the guy relates to you. So here the Rav comes up with a chiddush. He says, what happens if the guy, on his own initiative, would take your kli and, so to speak, borrow it? Would I have to stop the guy? Would I have to prevent him from doing malacha? I have to sue him in a court of law, because otherwise he's going to do malacha on Shabbos? Here the Rav has a gevaldige chiddush. And he says that in this case where the Akum took the Kli on his own initiative, he calls it Bizra'a, you know, with a fist, and he does a Malacha with your Kli on Shabbos, and L'chori you would say, well, you have to do whatever you can to stop this because your Malacha is working on Shabbos. You have to make sure that the Shvisas Kalim on Shabbos, the answer is nay. You don't have to give a hoot about that. Why? Because what sets up the relationship between that malach of the kli and you, the bailim? It's the mesira. And the Rav uses the following terminology. Masru adaite dehachi sheyaseh b'melech haShabbos. When you deliver this kli over to the guy, or you invite him to take the kli, I don't think you have to do a physical mesira. We're not talking about Kenyan mesira or venasa b'yada get creases, but you have to invite the guy to take your kli. That mesira, in quotation marks, is adaite diyasa b'malach haShabbos. I'm asking, or I'm facilitating the guy do malach on Shabbos. When I give him that green light, and I rent him the kli, that itself engenders a relationship between the malacha that the guy is going to implement in this kli, and me as the bailim. If the Akum takes the Kli on his own, that doesn't come under the Isur of Shvisas Kalim. Shvisas Kalim is not in the Kli. I don't have to worry about the Kli doing Malacha. The Kli has to rest. It doesn't say Laman Yonuach with regard to the Kli. With regard to the Kli, I have to rest. And if there's some relationship, he calls it a Tziruf, between the Malacha of the Kli and me as the owner of the Kli, that is considered as if I didn't rest on Shabbos. Felt that what we're missing is some of the level of Menucha of Shabbos as far as the Bailim is concerned. So if the Kli is in the hands of the Yisrael, and the Kli is doing Malacha, or alternatively, if the Yisrael invites the guy and gives him the Kli to do Malacha, then the Kli is doing a malach that relates to the Bailim, and that's a problem of Shvisas Kalim, because the Bailim are not considered to be in an absolute state of Menucha if the Kalim are operating on their behalf. However, in a case where the guy would take the Kli on his own, and he's doing malach of the Kli, that would not be a violation of Shvisas HaKalim. And I'm just about to finish the presentation. He says that when he gives the kli over to the Israel, over to the guy, or he has the kli in his own possession and the kli is doing a malacha, is then the maisa malacha, the kli is misyaches, it relates to the Israel, and he's mitzuvah al shvisas kalim. And it's in schirus of an akum, it could be that on the one hand the akum is paying rental. So you might say, well, now the Kli is in his Rishus. But the answer is that this rental agreement that permitted the Akum for using the Kli is based on the Mesira, based on the decision or the will of the Jew to give him the Kli and allow the guy to use the Kli under whatever circumstances. Then we activate the principle of Shvisas Kalim. So just to summarize, we have a brand new understanding of Shvisas Kalim. We gain a whole bunch of things here. Number one, we contrast Shvisas Kalim with Shvisas Behemto. In Shvisas Behemto, it doesn't matter when I rented out my behemoth to a guy. I could have done it on Sunday. It doesn't matter, because I know full well that my animal is not going to achieve Menucha. I'm guaranteed in my relationship to my animal, Leman Yonuach. However, in the case of Kalim, I don't have to guarantee that my Kli is resting. There's no such thing as rest in terms of a Kli, but you're not considering resting. And the second thing we gain here is that perhaps we can understand that unless you invite the guy to use your Kli, only in that case do we relate the active implementation of a Lacha on the part of the guy as if the Kli is working for you. Because you commissioned the guy, permitted him to do malacha. You gave him the kli to do malacha on Shabbos. That malacha relates to you. But if the guy on his own initiative would abscond with your kli, that's not a problem with Shvisas Kalim at all. And what we're going to see in the next paragraph is that perhaps, in the light of this definition, we can begin to justify the distinction between giving the kli to a guy on Friday and giving the kli to a guy on a day earlier in the week. Any questions up until this point? Now you can turn on your... yeah, go ahead. Who's this, Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
I can't see your beautiful face, but I hear your beautiful voice. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I didn't put on the thing because I just didn't want to looking up the thing. But I just want to clarify.
Didn't understand the word you said.
But now, yeah. What you're saying now is that, is it possible that the punishment for the is going to be much stronger than the punishment for the animal?
I'm not sure. I mean, again, you're asking a moral question. In the morality of the Torah, what does the Torah find more objectionable? Does it find more objectionable your relationship and your obligation vis-a-vis your animal, or this kind of a yachas, a kind of tziruf, in which you're not totally in a situation of menucha? So I understand your perspective, Joe, that maybe if you're not in the perspective of menucha, that's a worse violation than if Yeshar is working for you on Shabbos. But I'm not sure it works that way. I mean, that you have to make a moral judgment, which I can't, I'm not capable of doing. It could be that the Torah has an obligation vis-a-vis your animal, that you have to rest and the animal has to rest. In the case of your resting, the Torah extended it and said in order for you to achieve a total, complete menucha, state of menucha, you have to make sure that your kelim aren't to work. But maybe you have 99% of menucha, even when your kelim are working. I have no way of gauging that. So I understand your point. I'm just saying I cannot evaluate that point.
Where are you in the IRA Kedem?
I am now on page Sadi, and we're up to the left column, the paragraph that starts Al Pi Zeh. Okay then? Fine. Okay. Now I assume that Y is Yudi. Who is CP? Can somebody tell me? Anybody know who CP is?
CP may be me, Ira.
Ira?
Gruskot.
Ira Gruskot. Yitzhak Shmiel.
Yitzhak Shmiel.
Wow, CP. I'm not going to ask why you're called CP.
So Rebbe, I'm sorry, but basically the chiddush of the Rav was that the Maisa itself doesn't define the Keli. The Keli is not a Keli unless there is some kind of tziruf of connection.
Right. We're not looking at the Maisa, the Kli.
Because it's not just the Maisa that makes the Kli.
Right, right. The Kli is not capable of a Maisa. What could happen is a Maisa was done with the Kli, and if that Maisa was a Maisa Malacha, we have to ask whether or not there's a relationship between that Malacha, the Kli, and the owner of the Kli, the Israel. Okay, so let's go on, and we'll see if we can make some more progress on this. He says, Al Pi Zeh, now perhaps we can really answer the basic question here, the most severe of all questions, the Ramban's objection. How can there be any difference between renting the Kli on Friday and renting the Kli on an earlier day in the week? After all, the Kli can be used by the Goy in any event on Shabbos. And you own the Kli, and therefore your Kalim are doing Malacha, which relates to you because you gave the Kli over to the Goy. So what difference does it make whether you gave it over to the Goy on a Friday or you gave it to him on a Wednesday or a Thursday? So Rav Soloveitchik wants to say that this concept of Mesira that we mentioned, that you gave over the Kli to the Goy, introduces another concept, which he hinted at in the previous paragraph, but now it becomes full profile, and that is Adaite de Melecha Shabbos. It's not enough that you gave the Kli to a Goy, knowing full well that the Goy would use the Kli for a Melecha on Shabbos. You need more than that. You need, so to speak, a statement, I don't mean that literally, but an implicit indication that you're giving the Kli to the Goy for the purpose of Melecha Shabbos. In other words, if your Kalim are in your Rishus, then clearly on Shabbos these are Melechas that are being done with your Kalim that relate to you. In the case where the Kli was given over to the Goy, and the Goy is implementing the Melacha, what is the barometer? At what point do we say that the Meleches HaGoy in that Kli relates to the Yisrael? We need certain conditions to be fulfilled. One of them we spoke about is called Mesira. that you invite the kelim, the guy to accept your kelim and do malacha. But now he adds another condition. That mesira will only clinch the tziruv if it's adaita de melecha Shabbos. It has to be almost like a public statement, kaviyachol, that I am giving my kli to this guy for the express purpose of use on Shabbos. When does the mesira generate that tziruv? That's only if there's a very short proximity of time between the mesira and the malach of Shabbos. If a moment before Shabbos, just to dramatize it, you are moser your kli to the guy, then bevadai, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that your mesira of the kli to the guy is adaita de Shabbos. It's for the express purpose of using this kli in an hour, in a half hour, on Shabbos. And that adaita de Shabbos is what links up the malacha in the kli of the guy with the Yisrael who gave the kli to the guy. And in such a case, since there's a tziruf, as we discussed earlier, it undermines the shvisas habaylin. However, in a case where the mesira took place earlier in the week, on a Wednesday or Thursday, and that's enough according to the shir of Zman to be considered Zman Rav Kodem HaShabbos, as you and I would have said, maybe you have to give it to him on a Sunday. However, the halacha says that once you gave it on a Wednesday or Thursday, that's enough before Shabbos, and that breaks up the adaita de Shabbos, that principle and that condition, adaita de Melecha Shabbos. If you want to say it in practical terms, you could say that the guy might use the kli on Wednesday in the afternoon, he might use it on Thursday, he might use it on Friday, but meichetesi, how do we know that the guy is going to use it on Shabbos, even though again, you know very well, don't fool anybody, that the guy is going to use this kli on Shabbos, even if you give it to him on a Thursday or on a Wednesday, because he's paying you a rental fee on a daily basis. You know, he wants to enjoy the benefits of this kli and get his money's worth. He's paying you good money for your kelim. But nevertheless, the halacha says that the violation of shvisas kelim could only be implemented if it's close proximity to the Shabbos. And then we see the Mesira Daitei de Melecha Shabbos. But if the Mesira took place a distance before Shabbos, and you and I could debate how long before Shabbos that would be, but the Gemara says that's a shear of 2 days, 3 days before Shabbos, that breaks up the Adaitei that is inherent in the Mesira. The Adaitei de Melecha Shabbos is no longer inherent in the Mesira. Let's put it this way. There's a theoretical possibility that the guy will use this keli and he'll achieve whatever he wants to do. He's preparing for his, I don't know, his Saturday banquet, and he'll do that on Thursday. He'll do it on Wednesday. He'll achieve his goal. There's no objective proof or demonstration that the mesira was adaita de melecha Shabbos, and therefore now we can equate it with that other case that we discussed in the previous paragraph. What if the guy takes your kli, he absconds with it, and al das atzmo, he takes your kli at his rishus, without a mesira, and he does malach on Shabbos. That's not your problem. So if I give the guy enough of a buffer zone, of a period of time earlier than Shabbos to use the kli, and do all his malach in the kli, then when he decides, the guy, to do the malacha 3 days later, so to speak, on Shabbos, that's already mitzad atzmo. That's already the initiative of the guy. That's not something which is inherent in the very mesira. And that's why the Rav says here, memela havile kikli animtza biyad akume elav. It's as if your kli is in the hands of a guy. The guy decides that he wants to do malacha on Shabbos. With your kli, you don't have a problem with that. That's not mitzurav. His malacha does not relate to you. And I just had a footnote here on my own. I thought that this reminds me of another sugya in the daf for Masechta Shabbos. And that is the sugi of Haflaga Besvina. You know, at what point do I say that I embarked on my trip on this ship far enough in advance of Shabbos that I don't have to consider all the implications? You know, like for example, the Balamor sheet is that, you know, on the ship they may have to do a malach on Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh. You know, when I'm embarking on a ship on a Thursday or Friday, I realize full well in advance that I'm in that, you know, danger zone. Again, here it's a little different halach, but I'm just saying that you see, it's like Moshe Lamadover al Pichsidus, Shabbos ends on a Tuesday. Last Shabbos. From Tuesday and on, starts next Shabbos, right? So that here also, is there a Mesira Adaita Yimlecha Shabbos? Well, here in the halacha of Shvisas Kalim, that Mesira Adaita Yimlecha Shabbos has to take place on Friday. Then it's clearly Adaita Yimlecha Shabbos. But if it's a little bit earlier, that's not called Adaita Yimlecha Shabbos. Why do I need this whole business that the Mesira has to be a daitim like a Shabbos? And the answer is because we're creating a new din of tziruf over here. The kli itself is in the rishus of the guy. The malacha that's being done with this kli is being done by the guy. Why should this be a problem in Shvisas Kalim? We don't care if the keli is doing work. That's not interesting. It has to do with your upsetting your state of menucha. Ah, for that I need a tziruf. For that I need a Mesira. For that, I need a Day to the Melech Shabbos. For that, I need a Friday. All the above are stipulations and conditions in order to generate this new halacha of Isur Shvisas Kalim because of the Tziruf between the Melech HaSakli and the Yisrael. If any of those conditions are lacking, we go back to square one. It's the guy, he's doing the Melecha, it's Bereshus HaGoy. That has nothing to do with you. Your Shvisa Shabbos is not upset by the fact that he's using your Kalim. But if we have A, B, C, and D, if we have all those conditions that are met, that you are most of the Kli to the guy, number two, you did so on Erev Shabbos, number three, that Mesir was Adaita de Melecha Shabbos, and number four, you didn't allow the guy too much time to implement his Schiris agreement and do the malacha before Shabbos, it was obviously that he is being commissioned, so to speak, he's being almost mandated to do this malacha with your kalim on Shabbos. And now we're up to the paragraph on the bottom of the page that starts with the words vehine. And he quotes the Baal Amor. This is not the Baal Amor that we've been studying until now in Masechet Shabbos, but rather in his commentary on the Rif in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Says the Baal Amor, Shvisas behemto, kol ha'isa shel she'elos schirus, a gevaldige chiddush of the Baal Amor, hu rak be'erev Shabbos v'lo b'rvi v'chamishi. We never saw a distinction between Friday and an earlier day in the week with regard to schirus, until we saw this Baal Amor. The Baal Amor, in the case of Schirus, says the following on the top of the next page. Ikal Oman Diomer, to biyom Chamishi Bistam, please underline that word Bistam, Mutula Haskir Ula Hashil. You're allowed to rent out and or lend your Kalim to a guy on Thursday. Bistam, whatever that means. Meaning the Havi Akelim Lebeit Shammai, Shemitzuva Mea Torah Al Shvisasa Ledivrayim, Velo Asru Eleber of Shabbos, Abel Chamishi Mutter, Kimafurish Bebraisa Beshabbos of Perk Rishon. This is a Gvalde Gechidish of the Baal Amor. In the context of Shvisas Kalim, we worked overtime to try to figure out a distinction which would allow for permission to give over the kli to the guy on a Wednesday or a Thursday. But when we're talking about schirus, that's a whole different situation. What that means is that you're gaining financially, you're benefiting from the Melech Shabbos. He, the guy, having rented your kli, is paying you schirus into your bank account for the fact that he's doing a melech on Shabbos. That makes you into a nene mi melech Shabbos. The guy is being mahana you for a melech Shabbos. And that looks like the guy is working on your behalf, so to speak. Lechora, how can we make a distinction between a Thursday rental agreement and a Friday rental agreement? Chazinon, let's derive the following conclusion from the analogy of the Balamor. The Hachshita, this Yesh Omrim, the Ika Mandi Omar, of the Balamor in Avodah Zorah, he equates the din of Shvisas Behemto with a Chiyuv of Shabbos under the Bailin. Now watch what happens over here. So, trying to get back on board here, he says the following: Gam din shvisas behemto. So we're talking about renting out your animal to a guy. The guy is going to pay you rental for working your animal, and the Balamar comes up with this new chiddush. That just like we saw in Kalim, according to Beit Shammai, based on the Rif, that there's a distinction between Thursday and Friday, so too in the case of renting out your animal to do malacha in the reshus of the guy, we can differentiate between renting your animal on a Thursday and a Friday. And now we see an equation between Shvisas Kalim and Shvisas Behemto. And apparently the Balamor understands that Shvisas Behemto, not the way we've been saying it all along, and honestly, I was so totally convinced that L'man Yanuach Sharcha means that I have an ethical responsibility towards my animal. You know, the ASPCA would be very proud of me. No. That's not the Balamor. The Balamor holds that if your animal is working, that undermines, to some extent, your Shvisa. And therefore, that Isur, in which the animal is being given over to a guy and is working, and that undermines your Shvisa, that only applies on Friday. Because the idea of Tziruf, that the Malacha of the Behema is somehow related to you as the Bailim, and therefore it undermines your complete Shvisa, that is limited by the same limitations that we had in the case of a Keli. Because again, the Malacha of the Keli relates to you as the Bailim and undermines your Shvisa. Same thing applies, according to Balamar, in the name of the Yeshayesh Mandi Omar, to a Behema. The animal's work undermines your Shvisa. Well, just like we saw in the case of Kalim, that there's a difference between giving over your Kalim on a Friday, where clearly the Mesiru was Adaite de Melecha Shabbos, so too, if you rent your animal to a guy on Friday, clearly, the Mesira is Adaite de Melecha Shabbos, and that undermines your Shvisa. But in the case of Thursday, as we saw in Kalim, the same thing in Behema, is if there's no longer a Tziruf between the Melecha HaBehema that was implemented by the guy, that's as if the guy decided to take away your Behema, you don't have to worry about that. And therefore the Iser of renting out your animal to a guy, says the Balamor in the name, is only in a case of Friday. Now perhaps we can shed a light on that strange word that the Balamor utilized here, which we didn't know what it meant. He says, Bistam. Says Rav Soloveitchik, what does the Balamor mean by Bistam? It's amazing to me, I could have read this Balamor 50 times without even blinking, without even paying attention to the word Bistam. And Rav Soloveitchik is going to build castles in the sky based on one extra word in the Balamor. Nira abir bazeh, diimu maskir lehejigam leshavis, v'chaygam lepshita degam berevi v'chamishi avile kilu masra daiti leshavis. The yesh mishomrim in the Balamor has a gevaldige chiddush lechumra here. And that is, that if the Isur is contingent on Mesira Daiti the Shabbos, then that Mesira Daiti the Shabbos could take place even earlier in the week. The only flexibility here, according to this opinion in the Balamor. The only reason for a license, for a permit, is only because of Istam. So we assume that in a case where he rents out his animal on a Thursday, then, you know, the guy may decide to use the animal on Shabbos, but that's already the guy's initiative, his decision. That's called Mistam. But Imu Maskir Behedja Gamla Shabbos. If he says to him, included in this rental is Shabbos, they spell out Shabbos in the contract, then even on Thursday or earlier on Wednesday, and maybe even on Sunday, I don't know, he doesn't spell that out yet, it's Kiilu Masra Daiti the Shabbos. Once he spells out explicitly that this deal is for the sake of, is includes Shabbos, and he spells that out explicitly, is then it already makes it into a Mesira Daiti the Shabbos. But in the case of Stam, which means that he's not careful about the fact that the guy should have the use of his animal on Shabbos, he never spelled that out. So then it depends. Did he give it to him right before Shabbos? That's a daite de Shabbos. Or did he give it early in the week? Is then, it's considered like Biyodome Elov. If you remember, Biyodome Elov was the case where the guy took it on his own initiative in the case of Stam, and it was on a Thursday. That's what's mutter. Achein bozeh havishita yichidahi. The Rav points out that you should know that nobody accepts this shita, the Esh Omrim. The Rambam says explicitly, you're not allowed to rent your animal to a guy anytime, even on Wednesday and Thursday. And the Rambam went out of his way to point this out, lafuke, this sheet in the Balamor, because the Rambam is assuming, as we said earlier, there's a fundamental difference between Behema and Kalim. And in Behema, you are responsible to guarantee the rest of your animal, rest meaning menucha of your animal. And therefore, if you rent it out even at the beginning of the week, and the guy is going to work your animal, you're not allowed to do that. You're putting yourself into a situation where your animal is going to be working. In the case of Kalim, you don't care one bit at all. The halacha doesn't interest you in the fact that the Kalim is doing work for you. Now, I'm going to go a little bit later than we usually go, only because I'm assuming, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you're not going to davening now. Or is that only here in Yerushalayim that we're davening b'yichidus? So the Ramban adds another piece. He quotes a Ravid. This is not the Ravid that we're familiar with in his commentary on the Rambam. And the Ravid says the following. Al Ashmataso Shel Rabbeinu Zal, the omission of the Rif, says the Ramban, Lo Nisbara Etzli B'Makom Zeh. At this point, I don't understand why the Rif would have omitted this whole Isur about giving your Kalim over to the God. However, he quotes the Ravid, Melamed Alav Zchus, Umamid Kol Abraisa Zuke Beit Shammai. Usha'elo umashkon mutarim. So you'd be allowed to lend your kalim to a guy. You'd be allowed to give your keli over to the guy as collateral for a loan. Shelo huzaru al shvisas kalim ela b'meleches Yisrael. Dumya di eved v'oma hatoshavim. Okay. So we have to know what he means by toshavim. Sha'osim melachali atzman ki Yisrael bechol uschirus melachto shel Yisrael hu lefichach. So again, if the guy is paying you rental fees, then it becomes meleches Yisrael because he's paying you for this melacha. And it's similar to the case of an eved, where the eved is working on your behalf, which is true even b'chol, right? He says lefichach, the erev Shabbos asur afilu b'schiris yom echad, so yikonis leShabbos biodo b'malacha, ubechamishi mutar b'schiris yom echad. There's a lot here in the Ravid. We can only take apart part of the Ravid. Every piece in this Ravid has to be analyzed unto itself. But Hainu, what we want to get out of the Ravid is that this Isra only applies to Schirus. What happens is, if the guy is paying you rental fees, then the malach of the guy becomes, quote-unquote, Meleches Yisrael. If on the other hand you lend the Kalim to the guy, that's already called Meleches Akum. It's not Meleches Yisrael. The Braisa is talking about a Schirus agreement of one day, 24-hour Schirus. And therefore, if he rents out the Kalim on Erev Shabbos, then there's definitely a Meleches Yisrael, a Meleches Shabbos. And obviously, within the context of the Schirus of one day, Meleches Shabbos is certainly included because it's a one-day Schirus. Aval berevi bechamishi ein ha-melacha shayeches le-ha-schirus. If, let's say, he has a one-day Schirus agreement, which does not incorporate Shabbos, and the guy, let's say, continues to do malacha with your kelim on Shabbos, that's already she'ela. That's already not called Meleches Yisrael, it's called Meleches Akum. And the Isra is only Meleches Yisrael. So on that day of Shabbos, he's paying you for the malacha, that's considered Meleches Yisrael. But if, on the other hand, he's paying you just for Thursday and not for Shabbos, then any use of the keli by the guy on Shabbos is considered, which is she'ela, is considered she'ela bilvad. That doesn't make it into a Meleches Yisrael. So the Rav is confused by this Ravid, that the Iser of Shvisas Kalim is Bimeleches Yisrael. I mean, keep in mind that the Ravid is trying to explain the Rif, and the Rif's omission of this halacha is because the Rif understood that this is based on Shvisas Kalim, and we don't accept Shvisas Kalim. Now, if the Iser, according to the Rif, is Shvisas Kalim, then why are you introducing this concept called Meleches Yisrael? Did the agreement for the guy include a rental of that day of Shabbos? Why not assume that any Meleches Akum, forget about the rental agreement, is a violation of the Isur Shvisas Kalim? And for sure, in the case of Behemto, it would make no difference whether or not you did this on a Wednesday or Thursday, right? He's not going like that day in the Balamor. In Kain Shvisas Kalim Nami. So the Rav says, and I'm just going to fast forward to the punchline, Yachin, on the bottom left, Lefima Nishispar Liel, the Yesod Chiv Shvisas Kalim, Yesod of Achiv Shabbosin Shalabailim, in Kain Osi Shaper Hatev, Dasari Shonim Adnal, the Svilahu, Dechol Ha'isu B'Meleches Yisrael Dafka. When the keli is being used for quote-unquote a Meleches Yisrael, that's considered a violation of Shvisas Kalim, because the Melacha now relates to the Bailim and it upsets his state of Menucha. Hainuk Shakli Adayim Bershus Yisrael V'Melacha Kri Al Shmo. There has to be some relationship between that Melacha and the Yisrael who owns the Kli. And that will create the Tziruf between the Melacha and the Bailim, upsetting the Menucha of the Bailim. And therefore, according to these Rishonim, in the case of Schirus, the Melacha that's being done on the Kli relates to the Bailim, and Meleches Nachri Hudaka Avidle. But if, on the other hand, the Melacha was the contract was for one day early in the week, that's not called Meleches Yisrael, because according to the Shita, that's not called Meleches Yisrael if the guy is not paying for the Melacha on Shabbos. And the Chiddush of the Ravid is that there's an Iser in the case of a rented Kli that was given to the guy because the Jew is benefiting from the Melach of the guy since he's getting paid for it as a rental. And that generates the status of Meleches Yisrael because of the benefit, the financial gain of the malach that's being done with the kli. And the Ravid seems to assume that this is a doraisa. The Rush and others, the Magid Mishnah, they hold it's only the Rabbana. But everybody seems to agree that if the guy is doing the malacha li'atzmo, and the Yisrael is not getting any benefit, for example, the case of She'ela, then it doesn't bother us. We don't care about the fact that in a lending She'ela agreement, the malacha is being done with the kli, by the guy, and the kli is not being shoves, because that's not a chisaron in the din of Shabbosan of the Yisrael. But in the case of Shvisas Behemto, then it's a din Shvisa unto itself for the Behema. And just like the Yisrael is obligated to be Shoves, so too he's obligated to see to it that his Behema is Shoves, is in a state of Shvisa. Because the Iser applies to the Malacha that the Behema is doing. And that's an equation to Eved Knani, with the Chi of Shvisa is that the Eved should be Shoves, and that's what the Bailam have to guarantee. With regard to Behema, the language here, the Hari Kedem, is very telling. He says, Mitzvah Olav, it's a Chiv on the Bailam Lishomram, to guard his animals, Limonam, and to prevent them from Asiyas Molocha B'Shav Shenemar, Laman Yanuach Shorcha V'Chamorcha, V'Yinofesh Ben HaMasecha V'Hager. And that's why the Iser, in terms of Shvisas Behemto, is all-inclusive. Even if you're lending your behema to a guy, and even if the rental agreement was a one-day rental agreement on a Wednesday or Thursday, there would still be an Iser of Shvisas Behemto. Mashenkein, in the case of Shvisas Kelim, where we had all those limitations and exceptions and permissions. Okay, we'll stop here.